driving and how it's a miracle I'm still alive. And really, I'm thinking about two experiences I've had on the road that involve 18-wheelers. And the first one, well, first of all, let me say, me and driving, we kind of have a love-hate relationship. Driving, back when I was a teenager and things would get tense at my house, there'd be a lot of fighting, I would just get in my car and drive and get lost on purpose and drive to some little town. I had no idea where I was, and then find a payphone and call a friend and they would give me directions to get back home. It was like a thing I did on purpose, just to escape. It's funny because, you know all those country music videos where the woman's all fed up and she's gonna walk out? What's the first thing they show her doing? She's in her car driving. It's like, it's so sad that that's our mentality. That's our only pathetic way of escaping, is getting behind the wheel. Like that's gonna do any good. But anyway, me and driving, we don't really always get along. I've had some strange experiences driving, and a lot of near misses. And I remember one time in the early 90s, I was driving down I-20, I was heading west. I was just going along, and all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, I hear in my spirit, "Slow down, slow down, slow down." And I put on my brakes, and fortunately there wasn't anyone behind me. But I slowed down to like 30 miles an hour. And then, just a few seconds later, the car in front of me had a blowout. And it went skidding across the highway. I just saw this small explosion happen, a little burst of smoke, and I even saw a little bit of flame. Something happened to the tire or something, and the car just skidded across the highway, across four lanes, and tumbled into the ditch. And it wasn't directly in front of me. Back when we were all going at a normal speed, this car was way up ahead of me in the left lane, and I was tootling along behind in the middle lane. And when I heard to slow down, right when I slowed down to like 30 miles an hour, that's when it happened. And it just skidded across all these lanes and ended up in the ditch. And if I would have been going, if I wouldn't have slowed down, that car would have crashed right into me. So, I've had some ninja experiences also, like just in a flash I know what to do, and I do it, like, just in time. And, like, one time, see, it's like God has to bail me out. All these things that have happened to me, it's no credit to myself. It's not that I'm so slick, it's that I'm so dingy. And God, he bails me out. And that's how I end up with all these stories. It's him. It's his hand sparing me, keeping me alive till it's actually time for me to come home. It's not me. I'm like Mr. Magoo. He's all blind, and he steps off a ledge, and just at that very second, something comes up and keeps him from falling, and he has no idea anything bad was going to happen. It's like he walks into trouble, but he never knows it. It's like that. That's how my whole life is. It's funny. Another time, I was going down Hampton in DeSoto, and I was approaching the intersection of Wintergreen and Hampton, and the light was turning yellow, so I was slowing down to come to a stop, and I just so happened to look up in my rearview mirror for some strange reason, and I saw this car just barreling towards me. Like, I guess he didn't know the light was turning yellow. I don't know what was going on, but that guy was not stopping. He was flying towards me, and I don't even know why I looked up in the rearview mirror. And without even thinking twice, this is like a ninja move, I just, in a split second, veered over to the right, into the other lane, in just a second, and bam, the car skidded and bumped into the car that was in front of me. It's like I got out of the way just in time, and the guy looked over at me. Oh, a couple cars looked over at me. And I just sat there laughing. Like I meant to do that or something, but I didn't. I don't know how I get away with these things. I don't know. But what I wanted to talk about was my near miss with an 18-wheeler. Well, there's two of those that happened, actually. And the second one I tell you, you won't believe me. So I don't even know if I'm going to tell you that one. But the one I'm going to talk about here is, this happened in 98. I was living out in the country, and I was driving down this very dimly lit road. It wasn't even dimly lit. It was, like, completely dark. And it was one of my first times to be on this road in the middle of the night. And I thought I knew the road, but I guess I didn't. I just got on it, and it was like a highway, but it's not a highway. You know how country roads are? They're like, you go fast, cars go fast on them, but it's not a highway. Gosh, like, hold on for dear life. Country roads are scary. I can't keep up. So, I get on this road, and I start going the normal speed. It was like 50 or 60 miles an hour. And I'm going down it, and it's all foggy and scary to begin with. Scary out there at night to begin with. And it's all foggy and stuff, and I'm going along. And then all of a sudden, I see headlights coming at me and honking. And I realize it's a car headed towards me. And my first thought was it was a drunk. But I kept going. I thought, surely they're going to see me and get out of my way. And they did. They honked and got veered over and got out of my way. And I thought, man, show them, stupid drunk. And so I kept going along. And the same thing happened again, a second time. And another set of headlights. Another car. And I stayed in my lane. It's like, I'm going to stand my ground. You know. And I thought, man, this town is full of drunks. And same thing, honking, and then they veer over and get out of my way again. I was like, man, there's like two cars, these drunk people. And I keep going along, and a few minutes pass. There's like no one on this road, and the only people that were on the road were in my lane, like going the wrong way. And then a few minutes pass, and all of a sudden I see huge headlights. It was like dun dun dun. It was like a scene out of a movie. I mean, these huge headlights appear, and there's fog everywhere. It's all dark, and these huge headlights, and I hear that I realize it's an 18-wheeler headed straight towards me. And I thought, man, even the truck drivers around here are drunk. And but I stayed in my lane. I thought, surely this guy's going to pull over too. But no, I hear the honk, honk, you know, the honk. And he's barreling right towards me really fast. And it got closer and closer, and I froze up. I didn't know what to do. And at the last second, I just veered over. Like, at the last second, my hands just flipped the wheel, and I just ended up in this ditch on the side of the road. I didn't flip the car or anything, but it was a ditch. I mean, I went down into it, but just in time. And right when I got out of the way, this 18-wheeler just barrels past me like nothing happened. And I sat there. I was panicking. I just sat there by myself in the ditch in the middle of the night, the fog all around me. I was thinking, this is ridiculous. Nobody knows how to drive out here. What is wrong with these people? And I'm sitting there, my heart's pounding. And I slowly look over to my right, and I see the other side of the road. That's when it hit me that this was a two-lane road. I mean, there's two sides to it. It turns out this ditch I was in was the median, or the dividing strip or whatever. But it was down lower. And so apparently this whole time I was on the wrong side. And so that happened. But that's not really a God story. That's just a stupid Amy story. But it's just one of my near misses, my brushes with fate on the road. I envy people who lived in other centuries where they didn't have to worry about cars or mechanics or anything. They just got on a horse, and if they didn't have a horse, they would just walk. That's what's wrong with us today. We're so comfortable, and we just need to... You know what we need to do? Everyone needs to take their car and turn it into a little house and give it to a homeless person. Just take the wheels off your car and mount it up on some stilts and go park it somewhere. Like, they need to, like, all the farmers need to turn over their unused land and turn it into a homeless people farm. And it's a donation site. Everyone can bring their car, drive your car there, and they take the wheels off, and they can turn the wheels into swings for the homeless children. And mount the cars up on stilts and, like, make them like little rooms for people, for all the homeless people. And that way all the homeless people would have a home, and we would rid ourselves of this burden of driving. And we should just start walking again and use horses. And all the oil and gas and stuff that all this fighting's going on over, when they do figure out the problem, they can use it to fuel other things other than our stupid cars. Maybe I should run for president. Okay, I am going to tell this other 18-wheeler thing, but I highly doubt you'll believe me, but that's okay, I'm going to tell it anyway. What do I have to lose? Okay. This happened in 05 when I was living at the little white house in Red Oak behind the feed store where I got the West Nile. See, that's a whole nother thing. I can talk for hours about my stint at that place. But I don't know if you know that area. It's like right off of 35, and the access road is like a little curl thing, a little curl. And I was leaving that neighborhood one day, and I turned left on the service road, and I was on that little curl around thing to go over that bridge. And that bridge has a sign on it that says, some man named after a train, like Choo Choo Charlie Bridge or something. What is it? Boxcar Willie. Boxcar Willie Overpass. Yeah, I like it. I love that place. So I was on that little curly thing that puts you on the access road, and I'm driving along, and an 18-wheeler comes. This all happened so fast, and it's okay if you don't believe me, that's fine. But an 18-wheeler skidded in front of me. It, like, came... It was trying to make that curl, that turn. It's a very sharp turn, and I don't think trucks are supposed to be right there, because... Or it didn't make a wide enough turn. It was, like, coming off the bridge, and it didn't make a wide enough turn, and it was going to crash into me. I don't know, I would have to draw it. I would have to draw a picture to show you, but it all happened so fast. I'm driving along, there's a green light, it was my right of way, and I'm driving along fast, and this truck is pulling right in front of me, and I knew it, I said, this is it, I'm fixing to crash right into this truck. It wasn't a head-on deal. It was like, I would have crashed into the back of it. You know, the long box thing. What do you call it? The body of it? The truck. The long rectangle thing. The whole truck. It was like in my path, in front of me, and there's no time to stop. It was just like I saw it, and there's no time to stop. It just appeared in front of me, and I knew I was fixing to crash into it. There's no time to do anything. Okay, next thing you know, I'm on the other side of the truck. I'm not kidding. I did not crash into the truck. I found myself on the other side of it. And I don't care if you don't believe me, but I don't know how it happened. I have no memory of it. There's a second missing in that whole memory. There's a second missing. I didn't crash into it. I didn't fly over it. I didn't skid under it. I simply did not crash into the truck that was right in front of my path, and I was on the other side, like nothing ever happened. And I looked up in my rearview mirror, and the truck just kept on going. And as if I didn't already have a good collection going of God stories, this one kind of took the cake. And about a week later, I went to lunch with a friend of mine, a coworker, and I had to tell somebody. I hadn't even told my sister yet about this one. I was afraid to tell anybody. I thought, okay, when they hear me tell this one, they're going to lock me up. But I had to tell my friend. We went to lunch, and I told her, and I don't know if she really believed me. She's so sweet. She said something like, "Well, honey, if that's what you want to believe." So, you know, that's okay. That's people's reactions are good. They kind of clue me in on things. And there's some things you go around telling people. Some things you just keep hidden away in your heart. Some things you don't ever tell anybody. Some things you write about in a blog and tell the whole world. And some things you get a microphone and record. You know what's funny about, I know what I'm doing. I know I'm supposed to be doing this. It's like I'm bumbling my way through this, but I know, I can tell you, I have been pulled out of my normal life for a season to share all the stuff that was inside of me. And I know it's ridiculous, I know it's funny, but I also know that it's helped a lot of people. And there's a lot of people out there helping me. So just, everyone shares what they have to share, and take what you can take, and give what you can give, and I'm having fun with it.